baby and me. Yeah, we're headed to the driving on a Saturday night. Just me and my baby and a six-pack of light. Got a pocket full of money and I'm raring to go. Down to Dumas Walker right after the show. They'll be shooting marbles in the back of the store.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and relief is soon on the way for Americans and businesses grappling with interest rate hikes for more than 4 years as the Fed worked to tame inflation. A cut to interest rates is around the corner. Here's ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
Fed Chair Powell using strongest language yet that the Fed is ready. He believes the time is right to start cutting interest rates. We just don't know when exactly and by how much. I mean, most are expecting the Fed to cut these rates at their September 18th meeting, but we do have two more meetings this year in November and December. Question becomes, do they go with the more conservative quarter point cut, or do they get more aggressive with a half point cut?
The Justice Department announcing it's filed an antitrust lawsuit against property management company RealPage, accusing the company of using its software used by landlords to artificially set rental prices nationwide. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., independent candidate, expected to suspend his candidacy for president today. He could endorse Donald Trump. Both are in Arizona. This is ABC News. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro celebrates the Venezuelan Supreme Court ruling that he was the victor in last month's election.
Nicolas Maduro, through a translator, sees the decision as conclusive.
The court, in its electoral chamber, after doing technical, scientific, professional, and legal work, based on the laws of the judicial power of the nation, has issued a historic ruling. Let there now be peace.
But the opposition rejects the decision, reiterating its claim that it won the election. Maduro now into his third six-year term. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
NASA is expected to issue a decision tomorrow on how two astronauts aboard the International Space Station will get back to Earth. Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams arrived at the U.S. ISS in June on a test flight of the Boeing Starliner. Malfunctions with the spacecraft capsule have delayed the return trip. NASA reportedly considering bringing them back on SpaceX flight next year. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable's bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. UW System President Jay Rothman's budget request is approved by the UW Board of Regents. Rothman says they're committed to running as efficiently as possible, and that shouldn't change.
This is not throwing money at a problem to make the problem go away. This is an investment in the future. So we have to, as stewards, we have a responsibility to use those dollars wisely. And this is investing. It's investing in our people, bringing them up closer to market.
The proposed budget seeks an additional $855 million in state aid over the next 2 years. Regents sent the request to Governor Tony Evers to consider as a part of his next two-year state budget. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson was in the spotlight at the Democratic National Convention Wednesday evening. Milwaukee's first black mayor referenced mistakes of the past that harmed the city's black residents.
One of those mistakes happened 60 years ago in a neighborhood called Bronzeville, brimming with black music, black culture, and entrepreneurship. And then came urban renewal and the construction of Interstates 94 and 43. Ripping our communities apart.
Johnson said the area is rebounding thanks to a multi-million dollar grant from the Biden-Harris administration. A new invasive species is spreading across Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says Eastern Asia's elm zigzag sawfly was first detected in the U.S. 3 years ago and was first seen in the state on July 4th in Portage County. The insect, named for the zigzag pattern its caterpillars chew in elm leaves, has now spread to 17 counties statewide. The DNR says the pests only cause minor or cosmetic damage to elm trees, but could lead to possible defoliation. Their presence is usually not a cause for alarm, but careful monitoring is recommended. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today with perfect high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. With winds a bit breezy out of the southwest, it's going to be pulling in that heat and humidity for the weekend. High temperatures will soar to the mid-80s tomorrow and near 90 on Sunday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Mostly. Results have yet to be officially released for the final tallies, and then there are other crop estimates to follow. We've got our old buddy back, and we're going to talk with him this morning on the Free For All. Live from the fully reassembled Brain Trust via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday Free For All with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney from Real Ag Radio, and we welcome radio celebrity sensation Chip Lorre. I'm handsome moderator Davis Michelson behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk for one more big show. And this is going to be a great one because we're going to pull all the strings together when you are done. This is a great show to tune into because when we cut you loose in an hour here, you're going to know everything you need to know. Well, that's our goal anyway. I don't know if we'll get to it all. We were talking just a little bit off the air, Wiesmeyer. I mean, the question was, well, where do you want to start? And he said, something like that. We're going to have to keep her out of the rhubarb this morning. Lots to talk about. We've, of course, got Crop Tour. We've been talking about it all week. But then the DNC, the vice president has, accepted her party's nomination for the presidential campaign. And off we go here. So, plenty to talk about. Oh, and by the way, there was a Canadian sort of rail thing. I don't know. We've got Sean Haney. He'll bring us the details on all of that. And our buddy is back. I don't know if he's listening. Just radio celebrity sensation Chip Lorre. How you doing? You back in the bunker, eh?
I am. I'm back in the bunker and feeling good. Fresh off Crop Tour. Drove in from Rochester. Uh-huh. Just this mm-hmm. morning, so yeah. Everything's good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, we don't have to talk Crop Tour this morning if you don't want to. Maybe you're a little Crop Toured out this afternoon. In the afternoon show with Brian Grady, we are going to break it down and really dig deep into this here. I'm anxious to hear you guys go back and forth about your experiences out there on Crop Tour. As far as the markets go this morning, let's not lose sight here. Hey, corn moved higher. We're up like a penny
2 cents here in the Dease at 395.5. Soybeans are up double digits. Now we're calling it, but it's like 10 or 11 cents. Whatever. The soy complex is higher, so we're getting a little, support there from meal and oil. The wheats are, just slightly lower in the winter wheats and, down a little more in the spring wheats. Livestock's, the cattle's look good. Hogs are drafting higher. They're mixed there. Lots to get to this morning. I'm going to start with the news, and here comes the weather. The ongoing heat wave with high temperatures into the upper 90s and triple digits will remain over the southern plains into Saturday, likely breaking several additional daily records. Tropical Storm Hone will pass south of the Hawaiian Islands this weekend, strengthening into a hurricane briefly southwest of Hawaii late Sunday into Monday. A tropical storm watch and flood watch have been issued there. Another daily export sale reported by USDA, 120,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. Export sales outstanding this week. I believe USDA reported 1.3 million metric tons of corn, 1.7 million metric tons of soybeans in yesterday's export sales report. That's really great. The daily sales activity has been hopping this week, and here we got another 120,000 heading to unknown destinations. All right, results. Day 4 crop tour results for Iowa and Minnesota. Scouts on the fourth and final day of crop tour calculated an average corn yield of 192.79 bushels per acre in Iowa. That's up from 182.8 last year, but down from the three-year average of 185.8. Soybean pod counts in Iowa, 3x3 foot square, 1,312.3 for Iowa. That's up from 1,190 last year and above the three-year tour average of 1,191. For Minnesota, the tour found an average corn yield of 164.9 bushels per acre. That's down from 181.34 bushels last year. And down from the three-year average of 183.06, that Minnesota came in at 164.9. We knew that was going to be a trouble spot, and sure enough, that's what we found. Soybean pod counts, same area, 3x3 foot square, averaged 1,036.6 in Minnesota. That's actually up from last year's 984 and right in line with the three-year tour average. Interesting there on the soybeans. The U.S. corn and soybean crop estimates will be released today from Pro Farmer at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. We'll get more on this from Haney. Canada's federal government ordered its two largest railways to enter binding arbitration with its workers' union, swiftly ending a shutdown that business groups warned would have devastating economic consequences across North America. This is that Canadian rail strike we were talking about. Once again, we'll bring in Haney on this for some perspective. Meanwhile, a potential strike by approximately 85,000 dock workers in the United States, represented by the International Longshoremen's Association at 36 ports along the East and Gulf Coast, is a significant issue that could disrupt supply chains in October, coming up against a September 30 deadline there. And finally, here at the DNC, Vice President Kamala Harris accepted her party's nomination for president. Harris promised to build an opportunity economy that would enable more people to succeed, regardless of whether they live in rural areas, small towns, or big cities. She emphasized the need to lower costs for health care, housing, and groceries, and to protect Social Security and Medicare from cuts. We'll get more coming up. But right now, let's get to this industry spotlight.
Joining us now, Ken O'Brien, agronomy innovation leader at Corteva. Ken, one of the things that has always impressed me about the Corteva Pioneer is the amount of field testing that the company does. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we're the leader in agronomy, in my opinion, and we back that up with an awful lot of field testing. There are literally across the U.S. and Canada tens of thousands of corn, soy, and other plots, kind of the standard plots that you're used to seeing where we're testing those elite corn and soy genetics. But we're also looking at things like biologicals products and doing a lot of other on-farm testing and trials as well to answer questions from our customers.
Fantastic. You know, rootworm issues are common again. What is Pioneer doing to fight that?
The newest thing we're talking about, you'll hear an awful lot of talk about our Vorceed rootworm trait. It's doing a great job of helping us manage rootworm populations. Chrome is also still doing a great job for us, so I don't want to unsell the value of Chrome, but we're doing some capturing of adult rootworms to do mapping and monitoring of populations. so that we can give customers better advice on where they're going to need advanced management practices.
Yeah, fantastic. And the Z Series beans are in the field this year too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of excitement around Z Series soybeans out there in the fields this year. And we're doing some trials there as well. Just to follow along with everything else I've been talking about, we have some trials where you can visibly be able to see some of the agronomic advantages that they bring and some of the iron deficiency chlorosis and some of the other agronomic advantages that are visual. Those side-by-sides are pretty powerful when you can visually see a healthier soybean plant.
All right. Where can listeners go for more information, Ken?
I suggest you start with your Pioneer sales representative or field agronomist, and pioneer.com is also a great resource for agronomic information.
Excellent, Ken. Thank you so much. That is Ken O'Brien, agronomy innovation leader at Corteva.
And we are underway and on the board. Thanks for tuning into AgriTalk this morning. We've got Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Flory on our panel this morning. It's the Friday free-for-all. We're going to talk about as much of these things that we found in the news this week as we can get to. There's an awful lot there. Stick around for more AgriTalk.
Another great harvest thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks, live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer. Your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
There's danger out there.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org. Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Pioneer. Pioneer combines cutting-edge research with one of the largest local testing programs in the industry to help farmers succeed. Pioneer, what's next happens here. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Thank you so much for tuning in to us today. We've got the Friday free-for-all. We've been covering Crop Tour obsessively all week. Now we've got to talk about some free-for-all stuff. Jim Wiesmeyer, I'm going to bring you in first. How you doing, Jim, from out in D.C.?
Pretty good. I'm looking at a very big financial market rally after the Fed chairman spoke. We're up 450 in the Dow.
Yeah, I like the looks of that after after some recent pressure and maybe even a little bit of concern over the market. Good to see a little updraft there. Sean Haney, come on in here and join us as well. Sean Haney from Real Ag Radio, one of the usual suspects on the free-for-all. Good morning, sir. How are you?
It is. It's great to be here, Davis. It's been a long week of rail strikes and DNC convention, but we'll break it all down here this morning.
Absolutely. And the two issues that you mentioned there are absolutely paramount. And one of the reasons why you and Jim are just so valuable in times like these. And another very valuable member of the team, Chip Flory himself, joins us this morning.
Yeah, man.
Dude, smeared in calamine and aloe? How you faring this morning?
No, we're doing just fine. Just fine. The scouts did a great job. It was when I can say this about Crop Tour, we got to feel pretty good about it, but it was kind of an uneventful week. Yeah. It's not like we had any major, breakdowns or issues with scouts out there on the road. It was fantastic. And and the weather. Oh,
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Did you see the picture I sent you of the 6 to 10 day?
Yeah.
Yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's above precip expected over, like, right over the tour area. It couldn't be a better setup. I'm really glad that you made it back safely, and hope all the scouts traveling home make it there as well. Be safe, everyone.
That's right.
Okay. I want to start with the Canadian rail strike, because this sounds like a humongous deal, and someone has stepped in and done something. Now we got binding arbitration. Honestly, Haney, I'm not really even sure what binding arbitration means at this point. Can you give us the latest on the Canadian rail strike?
Yeah, so unexpectedly, I think so quickly, the Liberal government stepped in last night. Stephen McKinnon, the Labor Minister, they are inducing Section 107, which basically goes to the Canadian Industry Relations Board, the CIRB, and says, they're applying for binding arbitration, which would put this in front of a mediator, and whatever that mediator decides, both parties are bound to that. The union has pushed back hard on it. The railways and farm groups and other industries alike have been pushing for this. And we have it's confusing because it's not over here yet. Okay. The CIRB has to agree to push for binding arbitration. CN Rail has ended the lockout and trains are supposed to be moving today. For the CPKC, the union has said, no, thank you. We want legal advice, and we may, this is unconstitutional and takes away our members' rights to collectively bargain. And they are apparently the CIRB and the CPKC are meeting this morning. So we should have more news here this afternoon on where this goes, but the CPKC is not back to work yet.
Okay. Is there a chance that, the Canadian National Railway could look over and see that and decide, we're going to dig in a little bit too?
That is interesting. I hope that's not what happens.
Yeah.
The CPKC has a little bit of a more lengthy relationship with striking and these kinds of things. Maybe a little bit more of a militant workforce. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but sure. But there is a bit of a difference here between on the Teamsters Union side. So. The Canadian government's taking on the chin here. They very much, everyone's applauding them stepping in and for the sake of the Canadian economy. But if they were thinking about getting a union vote here in an election in 2025, that may have been thrown out the window as of yesterday.
Ooh, yeah. That union vote can carry an awful lot of weight there. Well, meanwhile, we've got a potential strike here in the U.S. by approximately 85,000 dock workers, represented by the International Longshoremen's Association, 36 ports along the East and Gulf coasts. Jim, this could be a very significant issue ahead of the holiday shipping season, right?
Yes, and ahead of elections, that's called leverage. So they're going to try to milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah. And
Jim, we have this theme now, or this trend where post-pandemic, we've got a lot of lockouts and strikes happening, some labor impasses, which really export or they impact agriculture and our ability to export. I don't know what the long-term solution is, but what we're the way we're currently doing this is not working.
Yes, and what we've seen in prior labor negotiations, you can see that in the ag area, it's led to inflation, by the way.
Yes.
So there are a lot of additional impacts, but they'll have the Democrats in a pickle if they go out on strike, because the pressure to release that strike will be on the Democrats, and they will not want to do it because of their pro-union stance.
Right.
The one advantage they have, though, is that if they do step in, does Trump say, "Well, I think you should be able to strike"? Like they kind of have Trump a little bit behind the eight ball there too. They may impact their relationship with the union, but will he jump through that window? I'm not sure.
Yeah, or will they just cave and give them what they want?
True.
Well, that has been happening in many of the negotiations. Guys, this was a topic of conversation at one of the evening meetings. I believe it was in Nebraska City, talking about some of these labor negotiations and how it is having an impact. And look at what has happened at John Deere. Look at what has happened at some of the automakers. The ability of, and hey, I get it. Get every piece you guys can while you can. But eventually, these contracts are pretty doggone lucrative, and they take a bite out of the company. That's the bottom line.
Well, I'll give you an example. CN Rail. An engineer makes on average $121,000 a year and works 160 days a year.
I think
from a public standpoint, that one doesn't resonate with a lot of people that are trying to put food on their table.
Right.
They're gonna have a hard time getting, and there's detail, there's some nuance to those numbers, but that's what CN Rail says in their press release on Sunday night. I think the public's gonna have a hard time getting their head wrapped around feeling sympathetic for them in many of these cases.
Huh. Well, if you're gonna pay somebody well, I kind of wanted to be that guy driving the million-pound freight train down the rails. It's an interesting thought there. But the idea is, you've got a Democratic administration. You've got a candidate now, Candidate Harris, who's talking about, I'm going to end this grocery price gouging. I can't imagine that any union is going to negotiate for lower wages and is going to impact the cost of shipping to the downside in any way, Chip.
Right. Yep. No, you got, I think you're exactly right on that. And my comment on that is really pretty simple. If you've got a plan to fix inflation, let's go ahead and implement that plan now. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're in a position that you can make that happen. You can sit down and talk to the guy that is supposed to be running the show. You can sit down and talk to him anytime. And get your plans in motion. So if you've got a plan, let's get this thing rolling.
Yep. Haney, any idea how long this might last?
Well, last week I said they were going to strike for a couple days. They need to make a decision quick. The railway is the economic underbelly of the country. Yesterday, CN Rail, as an example, said that there would be boil water advisories in some parts of Canada by Monday because of the fact they can't haul chlorine to water treatment plants. Like, there is not a Canadian that isn't impacted somehow, some way, by a strike of this magnitude. And I'll tell you, we heard from NCGA, we heard from NCBA as two examples, American Farm Bureau, the U.S. farm groups. Very concerned about about this strike, because again, we talked a lot about the interconnectivity of our ag economies. Nebraska corn coming into southern Alberta for feed yards.
Yep.
Potash going south. The list of examples is endless.
And Sean, isn't this really a work stoppage as opposed to a strike?
Yeah, the railways locked them out.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that's important to note.
Yeah, but they did give strike notice, so they kind of jumped the gun on them.
And you make a great point on the impact on the corn market. I mean, the guys in Nebraska were very concerned about this happening. And so here we go.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the Canadian rail work stoppage slash strike slash labor thing with Sean Haney, Jim Wiesmeyer, and Chip Lorre. We'll have more. We're going to pick off a discussion about the DNC next.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are mixed with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk down 12 to 21.86, October up 4 to 22.23, November up 1 to 21.34, December down 6 to 20.11. Live and feeder cattle markets mostly mixed. A lot of positioning ahead of the cattle on feed report this afternoon, which the trade is expecting higher placements. That would be viewed as bearish, but the report from Chairman Powell that there could be an interest rate cut in September, that's helping to provide some support to the cattle markets. Hogs mostly higher today as the market is continuing to receive fundamental support with higher cutout values and technical support as well. August live cattle down 12 cents to 182.42. August feeder cattle up 35 cents to 242.32. October hogs up 67 cents to 80.30. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and wheat are lower, really a lack of any type of bullish fundamental news. The weather looks to keep maturity moving forward. That's pressuring corn. Wheat markets also pressured on North American harvest pressure. Also, the trade continues to watch to see if the Canadian government can end the rail lockout. Soybeans are moving mostly higher. Another export sales of 120,000 metric tons of beans helping to support the market. September corn down 1¾ to 369¾. September beans up 8¾ to 950. September wheat down 5¾.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Zitavo Soybean Seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We got a free-for-all going. Haney, Wiesmeyer, and Flory. We've been talking about the Canadian rail stuff. Haney, real quick, I put you in a bad spot and asked a dumb question. How long do you think this might last? I think maybe a better question is, when do we expect to get these parties around the table? Is there a date set for a meeting of the minds yet?
Well, that's a good question. I during the commercial break, the TCRC, the union, has served strike notice for August 26th at CN Rail. Okay. So
here we go.
Like I said, you know, maybe some of the headlines got a little bit ahead of themselves. She ain't over yet.
Yeah. Evidently. Interesting. All right. Wow. Well, let's move on. Jim, I know that you and Sean both watched the Democratic National Convention very, very closely. Jim, I'd just like your initial thoughts to kind of get the conversation going, please.
A strong speech by Harris. 37 minutes versus Trump's 92-minute one. She did a good job. However, she didn't fill in the blanks on policy, and that was by design. She and her audience kept saying, we won't go back. Now, that apparently was to Trump's policies, but are they going to go back to Biden's policy? She won't say. So I think this is a battle of incumbents. And they're trying to fight amongst themselves, Harris and Trump, on who's going to be the change candidate. A lot will be known after we get the surveys post Labor Day, because Harris will get a bump the next few weeks. That's clear.
Sure.
But we're going to have to see once the teleprompters are gone and we have real campaigning to see, and also how Trump reacts, because he doesn't have his head of how to react to Harris. Charlie Cook said today that he's got to get off this how the unfair the world is to him, and he's got to go toward those swing voters that Harris went to last night. The middle class and the swing voters, Trump has to do the same.
The only spot where I'm going to say, Jim, I don't know if that's right or not, is when you said that when Harris gets away from the teleprompters. She hasn't given us any indication yet, I don't think, that she's going to be willing to do that. And even if caught, you know, in out on the open range by the reporters and they start firing questions, her standard operating procedure is to smile and wave and keep on walking.
Or lie.
The polling shows, if it's on the person and personality, she's the winner. If it's about policy, Trump wins. The problem is he can't figure that out. He refuses
to. He keeps making it a personality contest.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're, in some ways, I think the Dems are playing chess and Trump's playing checkers, in the sense that he is, as the leader, he had a substantial leadership position here, and he's not running this like the front runner. He's chasing her with this personality attack that, hey, that worked in 2016. Yeah. It's not, we're not in 2016 anymore. And I came up with an analogy this morning. He needs to channel his inner Nick Saban from 2014. Okay. In 2014, Saban realized, as the greatest coach in all of college football, realized his offensive schemes were outdated. What got him here was not going to get him there. And he went way off the board and he changed his offensive scheme by hiring Lane Kiffin. And that's exactly what Trump has to do. He has to change his path, his strategy here, and focus on his policies, because the numbers show that's his path to victory.
He went on Fox News right after Harris got done, and he was the same old Trump railing against Harris, that did the personality conflicts and things like that, where he just should have said, inflation has come down, but the cost of living is still up about 20% higher than when Biden took office.
Right.
And as Charlie Cook said today, the border only seems to come under control after 3 years of benign neglect. That's what he should be saying, but he just focuses on, and they goad him. The Democrats know Trump better than himself. They goaded him through 4 days of their convention, and he took the bait again.
They don't have to talk about policy until he does.
Yes.
That's the thing here.
Agreed. And I think one of the first things you said there, the polls show that if it's policy, Trump wins. If it's personality, Harris wins. I think that's right on many different levels. He's got to get it around to talking policy. The first time that he gives a stump speech and does not mention Harris will be the best one that he's done in quite some time.
Okay. And the problem is that, and hey, listen, he made the VP pick of Vance prior to Biden withdrawing. That changed this whole campaign significantly. And one of the challenges here is he's just as Trumpy as Trump. And they don't have a balancing act to assist here in creating a little bit of a narrative. And so Lindsey Graham, right on, Senator Graham was right on this week. You know, I'm not quite sure the provocateur or the showman may not win this election. Lindsey Graham is spot on.
But again, the voter's going to have to realize Harris is signaling that she wants to speak and govern for all Americans. We heard the same thing from Biden. Will they go on that promise again? That's the key question. Can she deliver towards the middle? A lot of people would say she can't.
Well, they definitely had quite a few Republicans, former Republicans, you know, people of that genre involved in the convention this week, trying to, you know, Bill Clinton's speech was very much about trying to draw those people in that made him successful for two terms, right? So they definitely think they have an angle for people who are just like, okay, I'll take a flyer. I just can't do Trump again. So he's got to adjust.
Yes.
You know what I noticed was the long line of Democrat dignitaries, the Clintons, the Obamas. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of gravitas that I think I saw a headline that referred to it as the legacy Democrats.
Yes.
Those sages of the party, the elders of the party, if you want to call it that. The Republican Party doesn't have that right now. And I think that puts them in a really bad spot and makes them look just a little bit fractured to me. Am I wrong on that?
Well, George Bush didn't want to come.
Yeah. And that speaks volumes to me.
Well,
it does.
And it's because of the changing Republican Party, the changing GOP. We've talked, guys, we've been talking about this since 2016. Jim, I remember it very clearly when you said, listen, if Donald Trump wins, it's not going to be a GOP president. It's going to be the party of Trump as president.
Yes.
And I still think that's where we're at. Now, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of people, and I hear you loud and clear, guys, that are very, very proud to be in the party of Trump, and they want to see that continue. So the old guard, the Bush, and so on, he may have turned down the invitation, but there's a lot of people that are like, you know what, that's old. That we're past that, we've moved on, and it's the party of Trump. The other thing that I want to make on your comment there, Davis, and I think it's really, really a great observation, but just think about how, whether you like their policies or not, think about how good of a communicator Bill Clinton was and still is.
Yep.
Barack Obama, when Jim, you and I were on the road in 2008, you and I were on the road together when Barack Obama made that first address at the DNC. Mm-hmm. I got in the van the next morning and I looked at you and said, "So, did you watch the next president of the United States give his speech last night?" That's how effective a communicator They are. And they work at it.
Yeah,
they work at it as a team. They work at it as a team to make sure that they've got a consistent message going out there. And they proved it again with this convention. Sounds like it was really effective.
Yeah, but the
Republicans are going to have to convince that the issue structure that damaged Biden even before the questions over his age is still there.
Yeah. Get back to the issues.
And there was all the, you know, there was the Democrat old guard, but not without controversy. Like, you just scan through social media a little bit and see some of the controversy that people, you know, there were some very unhappy people about Bill Clinton speaking at the convention based on his history, right? So, but they're able to, I guess, cancel some of that out or get themselves grouped up based on the fact that they feel who the opponent is. And so this is the challenge going forward for the Trump campaign, as we've been talking about, to adjust and focus on policy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we've got independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. expected to suspend his 2024 presidential campaign today. We're going to continue this conversation. Chip, hold your thought. I bet it's a good one. Come back for more Agri. I got him fired up. The panel is ready to go. So we're gonna finish her up strong here on Agri Talk. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Our southern border is wide open, allowing drugs, gangs, and criminals to flood into our communities. We need to get tough. But Senator Tammy Baldwin supported amnesty for 11 million illegal immigrants, including convicted criminals, like an illegal immigrant with multiple DUI charges. He should have been deported. Instead, he stayed and drove drunk yet again and killed a Wisconsin father of three. And Baldwin voted 9 times to support sanctuary cities that protect dangerous illegal immigrant criminals and release them back onto the streets. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-4689, the Justice for Jocelyn Act. No amnesty for illegal immigrants, especially criminals. Vote to finally secure the border. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Tyler Williams is a sustainable systems agronomist for Foreground by Bayer. Tyler, net farm income is down. How is Foreground by Bayer supporting growers through this financial downturn?
Yeah, you know, we try to support growers in many ways. We're doing a lot of work with our Bayer Carbon Program, and really what that does is that's a way for them, you know, growers that are doing no-till, strip-till, or cover crops to go ahead and get paid by the acre for doing those practices, and it becomes one of those revenue streams that can pay over time and sort of be consistent and a way to add that diverse revenue to the farm. And really, because it's, you know, the market's expanded over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, we're in ways now where there's multiple opportunities for growers to participate kind of based off what fits their farm. Instead of you having to fit all of the programs, you can kind of be a little bit more flexible now with some more opportunities. And so we've known that the agronomic benefits that can come from cover crops and no-till that can then add, you know, that value maybe in other ways. And this is just kind of a more of the monetary way as opposed to maybe the organic matter and water savings kind of way.
Exactly. That's a relatively new space. But is it time? Is now the time to get signed up for a carbon program?
Yeah, I always tell growers, you know, not to wait. One, because sometimes programs fill up. But also, it's, you know, why wait? You know, take the money and the opportunity now instead of kicking it down the path. I know a lot of these programs are becoming more and more flexible for the farmer and for the farming operation. And I always tell every grower every time, you know, check out multiple programs and see what fits and what you like best. If nothing else, take a look right now.
Gotcha. Where can listeners go for more information?
Best place to go is BayerForeground.com. We have lots of agronomic support there, information, discounts, as well as that's where you find the Bayer Carbon Program, and you can sign up there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tyler. That is Tyler Williams, Sustainable Systems Agronomist for Foreground by Bayer.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
No need to O-Needer if we're going to talk for a really long time about this song. We are not. We got the free-for-all going. We are desperately short on time. I mentioned the idea that independent candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. may suspend his 2024 presidential campaign today. Jim, probably going to happen here, obviously. But his supporters support him because they don't want to support Trump. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, but I think if he would have stayed in, it would have hurt Trump more than it would have on Harris because of just the type of voter that he attracts. So is it a game changer? I don't think so. But yeah, it's going to help Trump if indeed this occurs.
So is Trump going to find a spot for him in his cabinet?
That's campaign 101. He will. He'll say he will. Yes, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Jim, you wanted to make a comment about something Debbie Stabenow said.
Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan, was in Chicago at a CNN political grill, what they called, on Thursday. And she again suggested that relative to the farm bill, the two political parties are still far apart. And, quote, we need to sit down and negotiate and be serious. Yet she has not ever introduced her bill in text format. But here's the line. She said, quote, if I voted for the House farm bill, I would get killed by my commodity groups, end of quote. Mm. Corn growers, soybean growers, do you agree with that?
Hmm.
Let's have your answer. And I don't think they would.
The House bills, what we've been talking about, is so farmer friendly.
Absolutely.
Where is she coming up with that?
Don't know.
You want to
know where I'm getting emails
now.
From this morning? I got a lot of emails on her quote on this. So I'm going to wait. We need to get the corn growers and soybean growers on the record, finally, because they protected her, by the way. Now we need to know. Do you agree with Stabenow's quote? If not, why not?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. I hear less and less about the farm bill all the time.
Yes.
Is it just me? Am I just not paying attention?
Well, you'll hear more
and more
about it.
It's because I've been on the road for a week.
and we're 73 days away from the election, so all hands on deck in that regard.
Yeah, but they're missing an opportunity because as farm prices, well, they're not down today, but they'll continue their trend down, and that's when the farm bill is going to become more and more important as we get closer and closer to the campaign. It's a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well said.
Yeah. Jim, what else do we need to cover here? What do you want to throw into the lightning round? You got any grenades in your pocket?
Oh, gosh, it's so much.
I know, right?
Went on today. You had the South Dakota Supreme Court ruled Summit Carbon Solutions hasn't proven eminent domain rights, and now the case returns to the lower court. So, once again, that's a legal issue that's going to extend the timeline on that one.
You want to talk about one of the topics that was getting plenty of conversation on the edges of the crop tour meetings. It was carbon, and it was how is producing a lower carbon crop a way to generate more revenue? Okay, we've talked about that on the show. There are some out there that think that absolutely this is the way to go. People are willing to pay for it, therefore it's a good idea to go ahead and do it. There are others that, you know, they roll their eyes at this whole idea, this whole concept, and I get that, but there's no denying that as we go forward, if the policies remain in place, so in other words, if Harris wins and the biofuels policies and energy policies remain in place, there's probably going to be some kind of a premium for a low carbon production style out there. It, like it or not, support it or not, there probably will be a premium.
There's not much time until the election. I mean, I'm going to take us back here because that's biofuels policy. I can't imagine that between now and the election, unless pressed, we're going to hear about the would-be Harris administration's biofuel policy. Jim, is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I'll bring up, you know, Chairman Powell's comments today. He said inflation was not as transitory as they thought because of two reasons, the too much spending and also the pandemic reactions of the change flow of goods, et cetera. And the issues over the next few years is going to be that we're going to have to dial back all this spending, and that's going to be a battle in Congress and at the White House, whoever is there.
Yeah, because politicians have to defend the courts.
As him tipping his cards just a little bit toward a rate adjustment in September,
you will have a rate adjustment. The key is whether or not it's 25 or 50 basis points. I think if they went 50 basis points, probably not. That would signal that the numbers are even worse than people think.
So, is the reason for the big revisions to pass jobs data is part of the reason there to give them some cover and to, you know, their jobs market isn't as good as what we thought it was?
He didn't mention that. He's just saying that inflation is clearly going toward their 2% goal. He said that today. So that gives them more breath to start cutting rates, and the market thinks you're going to have a 1 percentage point cut between now and the end of the year. That means that sometime you're going to have a 50 basis point cut.
You gotta be careful you go too fast too quickly though, because if you spark the economy, then you're re-inflationing things. I'm making up words.
September 6th, watch the jobs report on September 6th. If the unemployment rate continues to go up, they gotta cut.
When I saw the revisions, I thought, yep, that's it. That's the cover for them to cut rates.
818,000 jobs over the last 12 months.
A huge number.
Crazy stuff. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, thanks, fellas. We do sure appreciate you guys this morning. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Sure. Yes.
Here's everybody.
Chip. Yep.
Yeah.
Chip, we'll talk to you this afternoon. You and Brian Grady are going to have an in-depth conversation. Why don't you take us out? See if you remember how.
Yeah, we will be talking about Pro Farmers' national average yield and crop estimates for corn and soybeans. We'll be doing that this afternoon right here on AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient
cancer-free. Together even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination.
The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now.
Let's go further together.
Find out how you can join the mission.
Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Our Labor Day savings start now at Lowe's. Right now, buy one, get one free on Valspar Reserve or HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Infinity or Showcase Interior Paint via Lowe's Gift Card Rebate. Whether you're painting one accent wall or want to freshen up a whole room, we've got you covered. Because Lowe's knows